Blessed and praised be the Lord our God. You may be seated. We have really all reason to thank our Lord, to thank Him for the great privilege to live now, to be acquainted with the plan of salvation of our God. And also for that we never had a desire to know something or to interpret something, but to just be available for God in simplicity, so that He can speak to us and that He can reveal His word and will unto us. We have heard it now of the singers. We worship You, we adore You, we thank You. And if we then think on Mark 7, in vain do they worship Me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Now, without judging, but the Lord has said it, of course, in vain, all worship, also in all Christianity, is bypassing God if it is not done in the will of God, not done in the Spirit of God, not done according to the Word of God. Namely, just as our Lord commanded, He required it. The true worshippers must worship God in spirit and in truth. Everything else is self-made. It's well-meant, yes, but it doesn't reach the throne of grace. Brothers and sisters, also these statements have such a significance, and others could maybe judge us for it. But they should hear what the Lord Himself said. When He says, if He says, in vain do they worship Me, because they teach the commandments of men, and this is really everywhere done, in every denomination, this has taken place. And therefore, the calling out and the preparation of the bride church in this time. And only he who is part of the bride church will hear that what the bridegroom has to say now. He will believe it. He will receive it. And he will get it revealed by God. We have all read it in the word of introduction. The Lord was with His people. He carried them in love. And then, time and again, came the disobedience. And then the prophets came on the scene. And they called the people back to God. God can only deal or do something with obedience. And therefore, our Redeemer, in His body of flesh, He was obedient unto the death on the cross. And for us is written, as obedient children of God, walk in the fear of the Lord. I've written it in the last circular letter. Disobedience separates also the elect from God. Also the elect may not rest upon their election and thinking that they can walk their own ways. The election obligates. The election obligates. So that we submit, so that we can submit to God and His Word. I've written down the statements of Brother Branham. I've written it here in an extra page. And I laid it in my Bible. Brother Branham said once the following three statements he made. The Word may not be placed somewhere else. The Word may not be taken out of context. And the Word may not be interpreted privately. Very important. No own interpretation. Not taking things out of context. We've written it in the circular letter of December. The various comings. Everything, one has to leave everything in the context in which it belongs and not placing it somewhere else. These were the three main points which Brother Branham has taken for himself and also given to us along the way. And then the five. It must take place at his time. It must be done according to his word. It must be that person of his choice. It must be revealed to his prophet. The prophet must be confirmed by God. And all this, of course, applied to Brother Branham. There was no prophet and no apostle where God confirmed in such a way, so visible in the meetings. He was at work. We have reported many things. Many things were reported in the book of Acts and in the ministry of our Lord. Many things are reported. But that, what we experienced, is just so mighty beyond measure. And also in the fullness, brothers and sisters, probably you could not witness this all as myself. Who I was in these meetings, in this country, and also in the USA. And I really witnessed, I heard it, I saw it, seen it. It were millions. Brother Branham said once, he has the contact to about 10 millions of people. But from these 10 millions, from these great men of God, from these many evangelists, just a few remained, which not only accepted Brother Branham as an evangelist or as a special man of God, but who seen him as the promised prophet for our time. And I noted it down here. I want that you note down the following scriptures, that you read them. Matthew 11, verse 9 to 15. Where our Lord spoke and bore witness of the ministry of John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 11, from verse 9 to 15. And I tell you also why I have to say this here. when the Lord refers to the promise, we all know He announces the coming of Elijah. In the next breath, he says, Elijah has already come, and they did with him what they wished. And then one reads one scripture after the other. One goes from Matthew 11 to, and this is just the point which I want to emphasize here. Not just reading one scripture, but going to the next, to the next, and to the next. Everything what God has let written down, be it in the 40 parables or be it in all of the word of prophecy, everything is hidden and it must be revealed. If the Lord would have spoken clearly, then all the preachers would know it, and all the evangelists would know it, all the people would know it. But He has hidden all things in order to reveal it, namely to those who are ready to believe and to follow Him. And so we see here, in Matthew 11, it says, in verse 10, for this is He of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. But this is not Malachi 4.
Yeah.
This is Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, the first part. And so, our Lord not only said, this is Elijah, He said it because the first part of the Elijah promise was fulfilled in the ministry of John the Baptist. Luke 1, verse 16 and 17. Because He had the task to prepare the hearts of the Old Testament believers, to turn their hearts to the children of the New Covenant, and to the, and thus making the bridge between the Old and the New Testament. And this He did. And He just prepared. One point. More than a prophet. Matthew 11, verse
9.
But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. But not more than a man. The prophets, just let us read it. Let us read it in verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Prophesied until John. And then comes the further explanation. I just give you now the other scriptures along your way. Matthew 17, well known to all of us, from verse 11. Matthew 17, from verse 11. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not. We see here how our Lord had to confirm the future and also the past. He had to confirm. And to just say it here clearly, the problem with Israel at that time and today is therein that they were waiting for Elijah. Even Muhammad, who spoke to the Jews in Yathrib. They confessed, "We are waiting for Elijah, who will come before the great and terrible day of the Lord as the last prophet." They were waiting for Elijah. Until then, that man came on the scene and he said, "I am that prophet, receive me." And when they didn't do it, then he murdered all 800 of them. And there was the end of the Jewish assembly in Yathrib. And I say this out of a very specific reason. Whoever reads the Jewish books, be it the Mishnah or Gemara or Talmud, all the scriptures, all the books there, where the scribes were saying their opinions. Just as it happened in Judaism, because they missed the gracious day of God's visitation, because they didn't have part in what God promised to them and what he was doing in their midst. Therefore, they were condemned, or they were condemned to walk on their own ways until their time would finally come. And whoever was in Israel, he knows exactly that at every Pesach, there is an extra chair and there's an extra cup filled with wine for the case that Elijah comes, so that he can take a seat, having part in the celebration of the Pesach. But for Israel, two prophets are promised, and not one. Zechariah chapter 4. Next to the golden lampstand, there were two olive trees, and these two olive trees are two prophets. And we find it again in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. But here is really the indescribable grace which God had given us to rightly divide and place the word. Also, on the Mount of Transfiguration was Moses and Elijah. But the question was, why do the scribes say that Elijah should come first? I just mentioned this to just finish with these things now. And especially in Luke 7, verse 27, and also in the Gospel of John, from verse 19, when John was asked who he is, then he gave the clear answer. We have it here in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, from verse 19, where the man of God bore testimony. Verse 21, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we read, "And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elijah?' And he says, 'No, I'm not. I'm not.' And then the question, 'Who are you?' We have to give an answer to them who sent us." Then verse 23, "And he answered, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said.'" Every man of God knew his stand in the kingdom of God. And in particular, if it is about the plan of salvation, then it's not only the local church which is affected, but the whole body of Christ. The church worldwide is then affected. Let us just briefly, let us read a couple of scriptures, looking at them, to see the way of God with the church, and of course also with Israel. In the prophet Isaiah, chapter 44, you all know, the prophet Isaiah, he has really written down everything, whatever belongs to the plan of salvation of God. In the 66 chapters, everything is described. What we have in the 66 books in the Old and New Testament, the whole plan of salvation of God up to the new heaven and the new earth, everything was written down by Isaiah because it was revealed to him. Here in Isaiah 44, we read in verse 26, Isaiah 44, verse 26, that confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers. The servants of God didn't say their own opinions. They spoke in the name of the Lord. They declared the counsel of God. And the same applies to our time. In Isaiah 46, we read in verse 10, 46, verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.
Und alles, was mir beliebt, das führe ich aus. Knechte Gottes,
servants of God are declaring the counsel of God. But God carries it out. God is watching over his word to fulfill everything, whatever he promised. This is then not our care, but this is God's responsibility. Isaiah 48, here we have the verses 3 and 6 in particular. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. The announcement may take long time, but then, when the time is fulfilled, then things are happening suddenly, whatever the Lord announced by the mouth of his servants and prophets. Verse
6,
thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed the new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. What are we thinking now? On the opening of the seals. We think of that the sealed book was opened, and that the Lord had given a direct commission that Brother Branham should return from Arizona to Indiana, so that the opening of the seals can take place. And every evening, from the 17th of March to the 24th of March, he spoke about it. And we're just so grateful to God that the things were revealed which we did not know, beginning with the fall. All the basic Bible teachings about Godhead, baptism, in fact, about everything, was a new put upon the lampstand and was emphasized. We are just so grateful for it, that also we got knowledge of it. Just imagine, this has to be now. This has to be said without judging. If we think about it, that in all churches, really, also in all the free denominations, where 50 years ago the Spirit of God was still at work, our beloved brother from Erbach, they made the effort to look it up, what is with this alien church in Hamburg. After the war, all the God-fearing people gathered there. No membership was there, just coming together for prayer. And we prayed until midnight. And God opened the heavens. And the Holy Spirit fell. It were really days and times of blessing. Yes. And what did it profit to all the others? And now the brothers are telling me, in this church, the women are coming now in trousers for baptism, and so forth. Yes. Even the spirit baptism doesn't profit if one is not led by the Spirit of God into all the truth. And therefore, we are just so grateful also for the calling out, for everything. All of us, we were, of course, in various churches. And the Lord called us out. He separated us so that we can follow Him. What really overwhelms me in the prophet Isaiah is the chapter 53. It was not only prophecy which refers in regards to the preservation, but he really spoke about the kernel of the matter. He described our Lord as the Lamb of God on his way to the cross of Calvary, who took all our transgressions upon him, all our guilt he laid upon him, and he went to the cross. Let us read it. From chapter 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Chapter 53, from verse 4. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our sorrows, our pains. And we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for my transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, And with his stripes we were healed. And all the people say,
Amen, Amen.
Salvation, deliverance, healing, full redemption, full salvation was granted and given to us. But now, in verse 6, we are told, namely in the past tense, it is said, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. Not we are going, have gone astray. So it was with Israel, so it was with us. All of us, we have gone astray. Just like sheep, we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Blessed and praised be our Lord, who walked this hard way to Calvary, has having given us the redemption. Verse 10, in verse 53, in chapter 53, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And this is still happening today. In the divine seed which has come up, he, the firstborn among many brethren, and we are begotten and born of the same word, of the same spirit. This we can say every time anew. The life which was in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in all the blood-bought flock, all who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, they are carrying they're having the divine eternal life in them. And therefore it says in 1 John, he who has the Son has life, eternal life. And he who has not the Son has not life. And therefore, let us emphasize on this day, not the knowledge about the word of prophecy. We are grateful for it. Not the overall view and the insight which God has given us about his plan of salvation by his grace. No, but the personal connection to God, the personal experience of salvation, of conversion, of renewing, of the new birth, and of the filling with the Holy Spirit. So that we are brought in full agreement with the word and the will of God. Verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. O Lamb of God, blessed and praised be thou. You went along this way to Calvary. You redeemed us. And God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. The one more verse from chapter 53, the last verse, the last portion. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. A wonderful description of the redemption which has taken place. The word of prophecy here, the word of prophecy there. And embedded in the midst, the kernel. We're just so grateful for all the words of God. Let us come now to the New Testament and let us look at some scriptures to see how God means with us and what kind of promises he has given and which he also fulfills. In Colossians, in chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, we have the hint which the man of God by the commission of the Lord had given us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. These are mighty words. Walking worthy unto all well-pleasing. We think here on Romans 12. We remember a number of scriptures. We think of Enoch, upon whom God's well-pleasing rested. And then he was taken away from this earth, and he was not found on the earth anymore. Also we, brothers and sisters, we can be found in the well-pleasing of God. That what happened at the baptism of our Lord in Matthew 3, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Or Matthew 17 on the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The one at the baptism and the other one at the transfiguration and the glorification on the Mount of Transfiguration. Here's the point, brothers and sisters. In the baptism, we are confirming that we accepted and received the Lord as our Savior and Redeemer. In the Spirit baptism, God confirms to us that He received and accepted us. And we truly need both. And you will experience it. The Lord will push us in such a corner that we will have prayer meetings until the Spirit of God falls, until God's Word becomes the truth in our midst, and that He confirms His Word visibly amongst us. But it has to be said to us, because this is Matthew 25. This is not what Brother Frank or Brother Branham or Brother Paul has said. No, this is what our Lord Himself has said. All of them had lamps. Illumination, all had. But then, sometime, the oil was lacking. And in all of the Bible, the oil is a symbol and hint to the Holy Spirit. All the vessels in the temple were anointed with oil. Everything what was consecrated to God, kings, priests, all were anointed. With Aaron, we see it the best. He was not only anointed, but really, the horn of oil was poured upon him so that the anointing runs down into the hem of his garment. Such an anointing we need from the head to toe, from head to toe. Because we are also priests of God. Aaron was a priest in the Old Testament. We are a people of priests and kings. We are expecting great things. God will complete his work which he started. Then we have here again the reverence. The reference to the accomplished redemption in Colossians 1, verse 14. Just take it to heart. Thank God for it. It's a divine reality. Colossians 1, from verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Say amen. Say, all of you, amen. The forgiveness of sins is a gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please, not remaining in unbelief, not doubting, not saying, oh, I did this and this wrong. God is not asking for it at all. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your house shall be saved. From verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. Both is used. Image. He is the visible appearance of the invisible God. Just as in the Old Testament, in the Garden of Eden. Then, verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And now comes the part for us. The part for the church. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the head, and we are the members of his body. Let us read once again. Verse 18. Furthermore, he is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And now comes something wonderful. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And we have this fullness in him. It says in verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, he reconciled you to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. The redemption includes everything. The calling out, the separation, the preparation, and also the cleansing of everything what cannot stand before God. Just as we read it last night from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Not only being separated, but cleansed from everything what is not in agreement with God and His Word. That it not only can be said, sanctified be thy name, hallowed be thy name, but that we are sanctified, really, not only praying thy will be done, but that we really experience it, that His will takes place through us on the earth, that we truly are included into the doings of God in His plan of salvation. Not only hearing things, but experiencing them. And we all will see it. We all will experience it. That Psalm 110 will come to fulfillment. Psalm 110, verse 1. A Psalm of David. You all know from all the 150 Psalms, David wrote 73. All the other Psalms are from Asaph and others. So, Psalms 110, a Psalm of David. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Let us go directly to the New Testament. There are a number of scriptures for it. Let us go to Hebrews. Hebrews, chapter 2. Here we are informed that all that is not yet completed, but it will find its completion very soon. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2. Here we read from verse 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. Nothing. Everything is in subjection to him. Everything is conquered. The powers of the enemy was laid as to his footstool. Second part, but now we see not yet all things put under him. Brothers and sisters, whatever we might see, yes, we see things that the full restoration is not yet here in such a way as we would expect it, and as we got it promised. Also, we are aware of this and that, but we are not bothered about it. It doesn't bother us. We know that God's promises remain. They do not stagger. As a German song goes, Jesus sealed with his own blood what he promised in his word. When we read in the Holy Scripture about the former and latter rain, also in James chapter 5, Zechariah chapter 10, we read it in the scriptures of the Old Testament and New Testament, we read about it. And we know that it will take place. It must take place because God promised it in His Word. Let us not look as Abraham, who was given to us as an example. Let us not look on the visible things, but let us look unto the invisible as we would see Him. Don't forget, the promises of God will find their fulfillment through us. And this is a word which we can read every day from 2 Corinthians. This wonderful first chapter, 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. Here we read it, of course, in the last... No, it's verse 20 to 22. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him the Amen, unto the glory of God through us. Everything that God is doing right now in His church will and must take place through us, who we are His church, who we are making up His body. Another possibility does not exist. God cannot declare His counsel in heaven and except He finds people who believe Him, who are standing on His side and who are in agreement with His Word. And for the rest, God will take care. Verse 20, here it's about the anointing, brothers and sisters. Verse 21, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. And not only that, also the seal, verse 22, who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit into our hearts. Not only an anointing, but a sealing with the Holy Spirit, so that the Lord can dwell in us by grace. Many, many scriptures could be still read. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Here it's written in verse 11, Romans 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So, not only anointing, but I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then comes the fulfillment, what is written in Galatians chapter 5, of the fruits of the Spirit, which are being manifested through us by his grace. Every tree is known by its fruit. Galatians chapter 5 from verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Just a description of the redeemed, of those who are filled, of those people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness. Everything is described here. And now we ask our Lord and God that he, by the outpouring, by the anointing, by the sealing of the Holy Spirit, that he just works it in all of us. You all were reading. Before that, the works of the flesh are mentioned. Let us read the register by which we were separated from God, from verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, we have the description of the old man, and we have the description of the new man. And we see that God comes to his right in all of us. I think we can all put our hand on our heart and say that the things which are written here down of the old man, that they are not found anymore in our lives now. Just, they are not found anymore. We cannot only just sing all things new, all things new. He made all things new. He says, behold, I make all things new. We have become new men by the grace of our God. The old is past. Behold, something new has come up. Then, Ephesians chapter 4, which is well known to all of us, it speaks of the ministries which God has set into the church, which have to be restored, and they will be restored. It says from verse 11, Ephesians 4, 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. May all ministering brethren find their place in the kingdom of God and in the church by grace. For all ministries are necessary so that it can happen what is written from verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Not only one ministry, but all ministries are used by God for the edification of the body. We all know it. If I, for instance, make a journey, I'm here 2 days here, 3 days there, and there are three meetings, but it's the brethren in all the countries, in all the cities, which God uses to serve the church, to be available for the Lord. The important thing is that we serve the Lord together, not against each other, but with one another, in full agreement with God and His Word. Verse 13, till we all come, all who we are here today, and all who are hearing, we, till we finally all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Can you believe it? With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. His word is true. And by His Holy Spirit, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. People who fall prey to false doctrines are carried around to and fro. They're not coming to hear God's word. They're running there and there. Just like waves of the sea, they're tossed to and fro. Just as it is written here. Then a word addressed to those who remain in the truth, verse 15 and 16, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, even Christ. In the divine love toward the Word, toward our Lord and Redeemer, in this divine love toward one another, growing into Christ until we come to perfection. You all know what perfection means. Every baby which is born is, of course, perfect. Nothing is missing, nothing. But then comes the growing, the growth. Then comes the growth. Every child of God, all who are born again, are full there, perfect. But then comes the growing, the spiritual growing. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Not just by one or two members, by every member, every joint, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, maketh increase of the body, causes growth unto the edifying of itself in love. Here we have a summary of that, what God is doing right now. Not only a message and a messenger, but connected with it, the calling out, the preparation, the restoration of all who have become a possession of the Lord, who truly are part of the body of Christ. And only he who is part of the body of Christ will also acknowledge the ministries. He will not say, "Oh, what is that man to me? Oh, what is that brother to me?" No. God has set into the church the various ministries, and he who belongs to the church respects the ministries which God has set. Whoever does not respect the ministries cannot be part of the church. It's an upbuilding of the various members of the body of Jesus Christ. And this is connected with the ministries which God has set into the church. To perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. Can some brother, whether it's now in our midst, could Brother Schmidt, could Brother Russ, could I do anything, also in the name of the Lord, except you are all with it? The unity in the church of the Lord is necessary so that the full breakthrough, so that the full restoration, so that God can come to his right. And I believe we understood this, that the ministries were set by God, that not only the promise was fulfilled that God has sent would send a prophet, but everything should be restored. Everything should be brought back into the original condition. And to this belongs Ephesians chapter 4. Then the three verses from chapter 4. Ephesians 4 from verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit by the bond of peace. No true child of God will start a strife or a dispute or bringing unrest. No. We are led in peace and we are peacemakers. As written in the Sermon on the Mount, verse 4, one Lord, one faith, one body, one spirit, even as ye were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One can read on and on. Just so wonderful. Wonderful, and again wonderful, is God's holy word. in all the connections, in every area we have here, the insight into the plan of God, into that what He's doing right now. Let me say it here in closing once again. It's a great privilege that we may live now. But in the same way, so great is also the responsibility which we have before God. Not only we, as the ministering brethren, but all of us, we have a responsibility before God to believe what the Scripture says, as the Scripture says it, adding nothing to it, taking nothing away from it, to not interpret anything, not be tossed to and fro as waves of the sea from one wrong doctrine into the other, but abiding in the word of truth, being settled in it, and being sealed with the Holy Spirit. Please be in faith and be He who started, He will also finish. He said it already, that He will have a church without spot and without wrinkle. He said it already, and His bride has made herself ready. Everything He said, and everything what He said is taking place now in us, in all of us who were called out worldwide and who are part of the bright church of the Lord. Also in our time, His word did not return void, but it accomplishes worldwide. It accomplishes in all who believe it, and it will be fulfilled. What I have seen in January 1981, it will be a large, a great multitude. Yes. People who believe now, who are being prepared now unto the return of the Lord, they can and they will not be disappointed. If God does not fulfill His word in them who believe it, on whom shall He fulfill it? On whom? We have heard the voice of the bridegroom in this time, the end time message, the last message, the last call we have heard. And we believed and received with all our hearts whatever God promised and what He is doing right now. In this we have part in it. To Him, the Almighty God, be the honor and the praise. Many things could still be said. We are living in the days of the Bible. We are living in the last period of the time of grace. And we are happy that the Lord did not bypass us, but that He speaks to all of us. And that we could receive His word by faith. To Him, the Almighty God, who has revealed to us in particular the word of prophecy and also the teaching, to our Redeemer, be the praise now and forever. Amen. We stand up for prayer. May we all examine our hearts now. Precious brothers and sisters, Do you have a song? Please come now. Please come. We are all in the attitude of prayer, in the presence of the Lord, and we are examining ourselves. And we are here with grateful hearts. We are here in faith, in confidence. We are here. God has done great things in all of us.
Lob und Dank sei unserem Herrn.
Ja. Утром, когда встает рассвет, Боже, тебе пою. За благодать твою ко мне и за любовь твою. Слава, Господь, я тебе пою. За благодать твою. Силы дай мне всегда прославлять тебя. В радости дай воспеть тебе, скорби не унывать, и о твоей святой любви людям всем рассказать. Славу тебе я, Господь, пою, за благодать твою. Силы дай мне всегда прославлять тебя. Жизни моей тебя хвалить, цель будет пусть моя, чтоб чудеса ты мог творить в сердце моем всегда. Славу тебе, я, Господь, пою, за благодать твою. Силы дай мне всегда прославлять тебя. Когда приходит день к концу, звезды с небес блестят, к Богу с молитвой прихожу, чтобы опять сказать: милости Божьей полон ты, милости Божьей и любви. И хочу я всегда прославлять тебя. Милости Божьей полон ты, милости Божьей и любви. И хочу я всегда прославлять тебя.
And
now in German.
Gibt uns die Begleitung. Sing, wenn der Tag dir lappt. Sing auch in
sing when the day shines. Sing in the night. Sing. Halleluja. Praise be to God. We are having our heads bowed. And now we want to pray for one another, especially for all who perhaps were acquainted with the preaching for the first time. If there are things new for you, just receive it by faith, accept it. It will be revealed to you. In particular, those who are coming from various denominations and churches, from different cultures. The Lord God has only one church, the church of the firstborn, and they belong to Him. All members of His body are, of course, His own possession. And He is our head. If we now pray, and before we do it, I would like to ask that all who have a special request, that they ask that God reveals Himself to them, that He reveals His Word, that He reveals His will, that He gives new faith, new courage by grace, that we don't look on ourselves, but that we look on the Lord, our God. His is the victory, His is the power, and He will complete His work in victory, and all the enemies will be made His footstool. As written in 1 Corinthians 15, He must reign as king, and He will reign as king. And the victory of our God will be manifested. Dear brothers and sisters, I can assure you in the name of the Lord that we belong, all of us, we belong to the crowd which makes up the bride, which is now hearkening to the voice of the bridegroom. We will be the ones who will ask God for more strength, for more fullness, for more anointing, for the fullness of the Spirit we will ask, so we can receive by His grace, that we receive of His fullness grace for grace. As written, and you have the fullness in Him who is the head of all principality and dominion. We have it. We have it. The fullness is ours. Just receive it. Accept it. Let us today pray together. You can raise your hand. You don't have to, if you like. Now we will pray together. And I ask that Brother Schmidt comes, that he prays with us. And then we will call the two brother Josephs, that they also come, that they also pray with us. Please pray all with, thank all with, all of us who we have heard God's word. We want to thank God at this place, together with all on the earth, that it's still the time of grace, that the Lord still speaks to us, and that He can come to His right with all of us. Father in heaven, we thank You, we worship You. In Christ Jesus our Lord, we thank You for the grace and faithfulness. Also, we can say today, as the disciples at Emmaus, did not our hearts burn while He spake to us? You spoke to us through Your word, and we thank You that we can align according to the milestones which You have set Yourself along the signposts which lead to eternal life. Please bless all Your worshipping people all over the earth, everywhere where they are listening. Bless us also here, who we are here, gathered in Your presence, in Your name we are gathered. Please bless also all those who could not be here and who would have liked to be here. please bless them and give us all the grace that we raise our voices praising you, for thou art worthy to receive all praise and worship and honor. We thank you that by faith we could receive it, accept it, that you did for us everything, O God. So we ask you, Lord, give us also the grace to walk according to your will, according to your well-pleasing, for the glory of your name. Once again, we pray, bless all, in all peoples, in all nations,
in all
tongues. Thank you that you have sent your blessing.
Amen.
We are all joining. Brother Joseph from Yaounde, may he also come. We just want to give you greetings. We want to thank especially our Lord God for our brethren who are translating into 12 various languages. God has taken care for everything. Just think of it. 50 years ago, and perhaps you are interested in it, 1960, we arranged the meetings of Brother Branham. We planned meetings with Brother Branham. We arranged them. It was announced in the greatest magazine in Hamburg, in the More Light publishing house. We had 5,000 Deutschmark, Brother Alfred Borg, Brother Schmidt, all the brothers. They remember we rented the stadium where 12,000 people could sit, and we invited Brother Branham from the 16th to the 26th of June 1960 here in Krefeld to preach here in Krefeld. And then of course something happened. What nobody expected. He could not leave the country anymore. Therefore, he could not come. Here it's written in this announcement, the evangelist Branham will only preach in Krefeld, in no other place in Germany. The evangelization takes place in the Rhineland Hall with 12,000 seats. All the other details in the next edition. If there are questions, they can be sent to Brother Frank, address so and so. What became great to me is, it is the fact that Brother Branham could not come. But every sermon which he preached in the USA was sent to us. It was sent to us. And we truly, we found wonderful grace in the sight of God. I cannot say it in any other way. I have to express it. God was so merciful to us, beyond measure. Now, with the brethren from Grodno, which belonged to Poland before, and now it belongs to the Ukraine, may God bless all the brothers to have another visit in our midst, which we can give trust and Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the message, for your word, for all the promises, and for what you are doing right now in our midst. And by grace through us, you are doing it. And you will, and we are available for you. And we ask you from the bottom of our heart, your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is on heaven. In heaven, in our lives, in the church, in the kingdom of God, in Israel, your will be done, O Lord. Come to your right and make all the enemies your footstool. Triumph over them. We thank you for the victory of Calvary, for the precious redemption through your blood. We thank you once again for your word, for everything what you are doing right now all over the earth in the bride church. And we thank you for the ministry of Brother Branham, for the divine message which you have entrusted unto us, by which we can carry into all the world. May all who preach your word now remain in the unity of the doctrine and faith, so that your church is being brought back into lockstep, Lord. Not anymore tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but being settled and grounded, builded up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. Dear Lord, I thank you that you saved all the lost ones under the preaching of your word, that you healed all the sick. We believe the full gospel, and we thank you, dear Lord, with all our hearts and with all our souls. And we ask you, be with us the last days in this year, and bring us together again, bring us on the first Sunday and Saturday in the new year. We have been blessed in your presence. Your word has become more precious to us. O God, blessed and praised be thou, O Lord, now and forever. Hallelujah. And all the people said,
Amen.
And all the people said, Amen.